Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
For those of you who don't know, we headed over to Indonesia to do the Schools to a Leg in Indonesia last week, arrived back on Monday night. But just a quick update on how that went. It went very well. It was certainly a different trip to what we've had in the past. There were two public holidays in the week that came about, and the schedule changed 2 weeks before we got there. And then, as does happen in certain countries around the world, the schedule changed on the day we arrived. So there was a bunch of things that happened. The schools we were able to do were fantastic. We had a great meeting with a lady who's been put in charge of a task force for children and youth in the city of Manado. And on that task force is two doctors, psychologists, two Muslim leaders, and about three or four Christian leaders. And so they're looking to work with us to get us into every high school within Manado, as well as some of the key feeder primary schools into those public schools. So that's a massive connection for us that we're able to make. After sewing in for 2 years, this was our third year. And so although the trip itself had a different shape to what it's had over the last couple of years, there were some significant steps made in relationship that brought great clarity for us to be able to move forward, which is really, really exciting. So one of the things that I got to do, which was very, very moving and confronting and challenging, and I felt very inept and inadequate to speak in front of this probably about 200 people, the Lata people on an island. Their island was overtaken by jihadis. The senior pastor was beheaded, and then they were forced to convert, be tortured, or be killed. So some Australian guys actually set up a village in Manado and arranged over a period of time for that people group, for those who wanted to escape from their island. So not a large group of people, but incredibly persecuted. So the women were forced to take a jihadi husband and have children to them, etc. Even though they had husbands, Christian husbands, they were forced to renounce their faith. There was all the things that associated with that, as in female circumcision, all of that stuff was imposed upon them under Shari law. And so these people were able to escape from that island. So that was probably about 15 years ago. And so they've established in a village in Manado. And so we drove about 2 hours to get there. And I have to say, it goes without saying, incredibly moving to sit, stand, eat, talk with a people that have gone through and experienced so much hardship. One of the ladies that just really broke my heart, she was forced into this marriage, had a child with this guy, was able to escape, met up with her Christian husband once she was reunited, and so they've actually formed a family unit with the pre-existing kids and this other child, and just loving the Lord and can't be thankful enough for Jesus for getting them out of the situation. So, you know, I was kind of going, wow, just first world problems that we whinge and complain about, but I felt very inadequate to be able to minister to these people. But the music was turned way too loud. It was distorted. It was not the greatest music you would ever hear. But as soon as they started to sing, I don't understand Indonesian, but I do understand the presence of God. And it was one of those moments where I was just frozen in this moment where I was being ministered to, and it was totally not what you would thought it would be. And so, I don't know why I share that story except to say hopefully it encourages us. I hope it stirs us. I hope it challenges us about, they're our neighbours not that far away, and these people that have just such a raw passion and love for Jesus, the way they worship was astounding and just beautiful. And so, I think we can certainly learn so much from that. So certainly appreciate your prayers in how we are to move forward with Indonesia, the Schools to a Leg. But as I said, it got great clarity and some incredible opportunities for us to go in and do something that no one else is doing throughout Indonesia at the moment in this capacity. So it's a huge opportunity for us. Just a quick update on William. For those of you that know, his brother was tragically killed in a motorbike accident. He sends his love, his regards. He is incredibly apologetic about not being able to be here or fulfill the Fiji leg of the tour that took place. And of course, we're like, William, it's it's totally okay with what you've endured and experiencing. And so, but he's very keen to come back and be a part of what he believes is a real God thing that's taking place, not just here, but Fiji and Indonesia. So we're excited about that. Alrighty. So we, over the last 3 weeks, have been looking at, I guess, that whole idea of loving our neighbour, loving those that are around us. We know that, you know, the great commandments, when Jesus was questioned by a lawyer as to, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus summarized it all: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind and strength. And the second is like it, that you should love your neighbour as yourself. And all of the law and the prophets hang on these two things. And so if we were to not complicate things, but actually, it's great to have Michelle and Mattia here this morning. And the baby is here. Congratulations, by the way. We did say congratulations when you were not here, but now that you are here, it's great to have you back. And can't wait to see Bubs, but yes. Sorry, where was I? Commandment things. Right. Sometimes we complicate things way too much. And I think if we get back to the basics sometimes of just fulfilling those two, life would take on a very different shape and form. And so Preston spoke out of a heart for others and the mission and that we're on with the schools tour. Then I preached about the modern day Lodabar, the kind of church heart that we are called to have. And Michael did a great job last week just expanding on it even further. And so we've got that whole idea about loving our neighbours is something that should be a priority for us. Now, the Bible also teaches us strongly that we should have a strong care and concern for those that are immediately around us, our own personal family, our church family. By the love that we have for one another, the care we have for one another, the world will know that we're his disciples. So there should be something different about the dynamic of relationship in and amongst a church community. It's not perfect. There's going to be mistakes made. There's going to have to be grace shown and received, forgiveness offered and received. There's lots of mistakes. And if you haven't been let down yet in this church, hang around for a couple of weeks. It'll happen, you know. But it's good preaching. It's not an excuse, by the way, for some of you that err on that side, but it is just a reality of relationships, right? And the depth of relationship is always really tested when you've actually got an issue or a conflict. It's like faith is not faith until it's tested. Well, relationship is not really kind of, the depth of that relationship is not really known until you disagree on something. And so, but there should be a difference in the dynamic of the relationship within the context and life of a church. And so this morning, what I want to start to look at is, I guess, an extension out of, in Matthew, as I just said, Matthew 22 is Jesus' response to that question about which is the greatest laws. And the one I want to focus on is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:13-14 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And so what I want to focus on today is, we've touched on the loving the neighbor bit, but I'm not sure if you've ever given much thought, attention, study to what does it mean to love yourself? Because we're called to love others as we love ourselves. We can't give what we don't have. And so I'd love to explore a little bit, and that's going to sort of like, this is an entry point, if you like, into a series that we want to go into. Because this year, our predominant question as a church to one another and as a church is, what's next? What's next in 2018? What's next for us as a church family? And we've moved into this space. And so, you know, some of us are just like, hey, can we just enjoy this for a minute before we worry about what's next? And I get that. Trust me, I get that. But like, I'm always thinking like, what's next, but not wanting to miss the moment. And so we talked about what's next, inward, outward, and upward. Anyone remember that? IOU, inward, outward, upward. So what we want to do is sort of this time of the year, being June, being a mid-year point, is do a little bit of a mid-year health check, but make sure that what we set out to do at the start of this year, we actually follow through on and actually make sure we do it. One of the things that frustrates the heck out of me is that when any organization, but especially church, you know, sprout off a whole bunch of stuff at the start of a year, but there's no follow through and there's no kind of measuring of what's actually happened, or are we actually doing what we set out to achieve? Does that make sense? So I think that what we want to do in this mid-year point is actually just do a bit of a mid-year health check. And so this morning I want us to, I guess, start to explore this idea, which will flow into the inward part. But what does it mean to love yourself? If we were to look at verse 39 out of Matthew 22, it says there, love your neighbor as yourself. And to speak about loving yourself can potentially open up a whole kind of can of worms for some people. For some people, it kind of like they might just like to justify being proud and arrogant. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about loving yourself. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about condoning narcissistic behavior and all the controls that come with that. I am not talking about justifying selfishness and justifying excessive self-indulgent behavior. I'm not talking about that as a way of pampering yourself. Is not the kind of love that I'm talking about. Turn to the person next to you and say, love yourself. Now, if I had a mirror, which I don't have, but I wish I did, I'd love to be able to hold a mirror up in front of you and just for you to see how comfortable you are in saying, I love myself. There are some people in this room that are very comfortable with that. And there's others that will just be going, I could never do that. They're both ends of the spectrum that are not probably quite right. But we should have an understanding of who we are. For me, when we talk about loving yourself, for me, it all stems out of fulfilling the first commandment. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength will lead us to a place where we understand who God is, who we are in God's eyes, who we are in Christ, and we begin to get an understanding of who we are from that perspective, not from how the world determines or judges or rates us on looks or how we should or shouldn't love ourselves. So for me, we are created, the Bible tells us, in God's image and likeness. I don't want to labor this point, but I just want to make it quickly that God has created you and I in his image and likeness, and he takes great delight in us. Now, the great thing that I take confidence from this is that God does not make mistakes. God does not make dumb. God does not make ugly. So if you've ever been told that, then that's not God's view of you. That's not how God sees you. In fact, you know what? You're actually a winner here this morning. You are a winner. Turn to the person next to you and just go, I'm a winner. Shark Tales, anyone seen Shark Tales? The two dreadlock guys, you're a wiener. Anyway, we won't go there. But you might go, well, look, a lot of people have told me that I'm not a winner. In fact, I'm, you know, sort of major loser kind of thing. You know, that's kind of more the label that I wear. But, you know, I just want to remind you of something, that there was a day, and I don't want to freak people out too much, but there was a day. It was a beautiful day. It was an amazing day where millions and millions of sperm went on a race. There was only one egg, okay? And there was millions and millions of sperm that were all racing, and guess who won? You did. You won. Now, some of you are freaking out right now because you're thinking about your parents, and don't do that because you'll be psychologically scarred for life. You don't want to think about your parents doing that because parents don't do that, right? But the fact of the matter is that out of all the millions of sperm that went on that race that day, God ordained and purposed that you would get there first. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. You won the race. So God had purposed and ordained you to be born at such a time as this. I mean, when I was in Indonesia, I'm just going, wrestling through what these people have gone through, just going, wow, God, why is it that I was chosen, that you, that as Tim Costello would say, the lottery of latitude, why was it that I was born in Australia and not on the island of Lata Lata? Or why is it that I wasn't born in Malawi? I don't understand God's sovereignty and providence and design and purpose. His ways are higher than my ways. I don't always understand that, but I have to trust that he's got a plan and purpose, and I need to seek that out so I can fulfill that for the benefit of my fellow man. See, this morning, it doesn't matter where you are at, what you've done, where you've come from, what you have or haven't got, what position, title, degree you have or haven't got, irrespective of who you are, you need to know that God loves you. You need to understand where your value and worth has to come from. If you try to source your value and worth from things that are around you, you'll end up being empty. You'll end up being disappointed. You'll end up like there's an author that actually has got over 250 million books sold, who wrote a whole series of The Eagle's Nest is one of them. I forgot his name off the top of my head. But he was asked, arguably he's at the top of his game. And he's 61, and the interviewer, I think it was Parkinson, actually asked him, you know, if you could go back to yourself when you were 18, what advice would you say to yourself, knowing all of the success that you're going to have? What advice would you give to yourself? He would say, I'd go to my 18-year-old self, and I'd say, after you've accomplished and achieved everything that you wanted to achieve, and you get to the top of it, it's empty. That was his comment in the interview with Parkinson. And so if we rate ourselves or we pursue ourselves on our value, worth, or meaning on what society or the world measures for us to gauge against, then it will end up being empty. But when we start to understand, when we start to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, understand who God is and how God sees us, and understand why and how we were created and how marvelous and wonderful and incredible you really are, you start to get a sense of who you are from a totally different perspective. And that's where we need to start to draw it from. So our love of self has to originate and stem out of and come from the fulfilling of the first and greatest commandment. So, but in saying that, we could go into that a lot further, but this morning, I don't want to do that. This morning, what I want to actually focus on is some of the common sense things. I believe that God has given us common sense. And as we know, common sense is not that common, right? True? I mean, just drive down the street for a bit. You'll understand. Common sense is just not that common. But like the thing is that God has given us a brain and the ability to actually think about how do we love ourselves? How do we take care of what God has given us? I think for me that one of the things that we can lose sight of in life is that we are at our best when we start from a place of rest. We're at our best when we start from a place of rest. And if you bear with me for just a second, God, when he created the planet, he created all things in 6 days. He had a day, seven was a day of rest, but that was man's first day. And so man's first day was out of a place of rest. And so that's why we gather together on Sunday. It's not the last day of the week, it's the first day of the week. And we gather together to be refreshed and encouraged about what is to come. And so God sort of challenges us that, as he does quite often, if you think about scripture, God often actually flips things on its head, and we're called to minister, we're called to live out of an opposite spirit. We're called to bless those who persecute us, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, bless your enemies, bless those who persecute us, do those things that are quite opposite to what society would call us to do. And so for us to actually grasp this concept of starting out of a place of rest is actually quite difficult. Why? Because sometimes we actually wear the badge of busyness as a badge of honor. And it's not a badge that Jesus put on any of our chests. I can tell you that right now. And what I've said before is that if the devil can't make us sin, then he'll make us busy. And so busyness itself can be a trap. It can be something that is actually a distraction from what God is calling us to do. Now, I want to just give you a couple of books that I think are actually worth reading, having a look at, in terms of actually understanding rest and making sure that you operate out of a place of rest as opposed to a place of exhaustedness. So the first one is Soul Keeping by John Ortberg, a book I highly recommend if you get the chance to go through that. One certainly worth looking at. Another one which is from a Catholic priest that lived quite a radical life after a life of great popularity, went and set up a mission in Europe for people who had serious mental health issues and were outcast of society. And he actually started to live out his faith in a practical way through this particular mission. And he wrote this book called Spiritual Formation. And there is some absolute gold in that when it comes to actually living life out of a place of rest. One that I've actually just started to look at is by Curtis Zachary called Soul Rest. It's something, a book certainly that I would recommend. So this morning, what I want us to do is like be mindful of God calls us to operate out of a place of rest, not a place of exhaustedness. Why am I even raising this topic today? Well, I think one of the things that I've observed and I'm experiencing is that after what we've been through as a church, there's different groups of people that are in our church. We've got people that have been in our church for a long time and have been on the journey and have worked incredibly hard and have done a fantastic job. And for that, we're incredibly grateful. We've got people. So we've got people that have kind of come in over the last few months or this year, or people here today, and you're checking us out as a church and you're sort of working out, is this going to be my spiritual home or not? So the challenge for me as pastor, if I can be completely honest, is to make sure those that have kind of poured out and worked so hard in the lead up to where we are today are cared for and looked after, but also for those that are coming into the life of our church who are excited and enthusiastic about, you know, what God's doing in this place. And let me tell you, God is doing some pretty amazing things in this place. And if you know me, I wouldn't say that unless it was really happening. Because there's been plenty of times in the life of ministry where things are just, it just feels like you're banging your head against a brick wall and it's just hard work. But I have to honestly say, in the life of our church at the moment, it's just like God is doing so many great things and it's almost running to keep up with what God is doing in and through this place and in people's lives. And can I just say that if you've got a testimony of what God's doing in your life, or you feel as though out of whether it's through the process we've just gone through as a church and you personally have stepped out in faith in an area of your life, if you've got a story of something that God has done in your life that is good, please let us know. We want to give God all the glory. We want to give God the credit for what he's doing in and through this place. And so it'd be great if you could do that. So we've got people that are in different places and at different energy levels and different stages of integration and connectedness with the life of us as a church. And so for me this morning, one of the things that I want to do is I want to make sure that those of you that are feeling that and have felt the weight of the burden and the joy and the privilege and the honor, using all those nice words, but it's just flipping hard work, right? That's what I'm saying, of actually getting us to where we are, you would know that you are loved and you're appreciated. And for those of you that have just come into the life of the church, I want to just make sure that you know that you're welcome, and we are just so glad and we're excited to have you here. And so when I talk about loving yourself, I think God has given us a key strategy of where that's to stem out of, as I said, out of that first commandment. But I also think God's given us some common sense on how we should take care of ourselves to make sure that we're functioning at a level that we're actually loving others as we're loving ourselves. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. In any organization, any club that I've been involved in, any workspace that I've been involved in, you often find that there's three groups of people. For me, I've observed, simply put, there's going to be the people that are doing too much. In any organization, any place that you go to, if you think about your workplace right now, you think about other clubs and things, you'll be able to think about that there are just people that just are doing way too much. There are always going to be those people that go above and beyond what's required of them. Has anyone ever heard of the Pareto principle? The 20-80 rule. So you've got 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Or it's argued that 20% of your product will produce 80% of your profit. That's the kind of principle that kind of the Pareto principle operates out of. And so in church life, for the most part, it's not too indifferent to that. Now, I would say for us as a church, we've probably got better engagement than that in terms of the volunteer base and people that are actually actively involved in the life of our church. It's more than 20% of our congregation. And so as your pastor, I'm saying thank you. Thank you to those that have been involved. It's very quiet in here today. It's very quiet. People falling asleep. You're doing too much. Just resting. Just rest. Just enjoy. But can I just say, our board are so grateful to the people who, you know, just been so faithfully committed to seeing this vision becoming reality. And so we're so incredibly grateful for that. I think the danger of us being busy or going through a season that we have, sometimes we, if we're feeling a bit tired or a bit weary with that, sometimes we can project that onto others or think that others are in that same place as well, when then that's not the case. So there are things that we need to personally be aware of when it comes to actually being weary or tired in a particular situation. I think for me, one of the things that good indicators if we're doing too much is that you need to know what your personal markers are. You need to know what are the signs for you that are indicators that maybe you've just been doing too much or you're doing too much. I listed a few that are probably relevant to me. I know that when I start to get intolerant of people, maybe I should, as the pastor, take a good hard look at myself and just go, wow, you know, these people, they don't normally annoy me like that. And why are they starting to annoy me? Maybe because I need to sort of just take a look at where I'm at. Or maybe I'm just easily annoyed at things that wouldn't normally annoy me. You know, just little things happen and I just get agitated or I get annoyed. I'm not projecting this onto anyone else, so no one else knows how I feel here. But maybe just feeling, stating the obvious, feeling a little bit more tired than normal, and you realise that a good night's sleep hasn't quite fixed it. So you need to go, hang on a sec. Maybe we start to entertain thoughts and ideas that you would normally dismiss or brush off, or some feelings of agitation with somebody, kind of like instead of just letting it go, you kind of dwell on it a little bit longer than normal. You know, just some of the signs for me. And starting to realise, you know what, there's not as much joy in what I'm doing as what there used to be. You know, like even though there's just so many exciting things going on, it's like, you know, why isn't there the joy that should be there? I'm not saying that's the case for me, but it's just one of the indicators that I have to go, okay, maybe I've kind of been pushing the envelope a little bit. Maybe I need to actually be a little bit more self-aware and actually take some time out. And obviously, again, another obvious one is just lacking motivation and energy levels being down. So do you know what your markers are? Do you know what those things are in your life that are indicators to say that you're actually doing too much? Because again, busyness and doing the good, and it can all be good stuff, can be getting in the way of the great that God actually wants you to do. And we're so busy just getting on with stuff, and God's going, Phil, actually, you know what? I just want you to go over here. I just want you talking to this person. Actually, I just want you to call this person because this person needs a call, but I'm so busy doing good stuff over here that I'm actually missing God's voice in the midst of the busyness. Does that make sense? You know, the reality is that there is always going to be busy seasons in life, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's church. There are going to be busy seasons in life. But this morning, I want to make sure that we as a church are very clear that it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. Turn to the person next to you and just say no. That's the first time some husbands have said that to their wife in a long time. No. It's like, can I just say that the words no and rest are not swear words? You know, they are not words that are probably a regular part of our vocab, but maybe they need to be. Maybe we need to actually evaluate where we're at, and I think may be shot down for saying this, but you know, probably the blokes are the worst because we hate to admit that we've got limitations. We hate to admit that, you know, like that I have a finite capacity and like, you know, to actually admit that I can't do that and I can't squeeze that into my diary or fit that in. It's like most blokes kind of aren't willing to admit that until they're clasping their chest, having a heart attack, and they're on a hospital bed with blood coming out of every orifice of their body, and they're kind of going, oh, maybe I should stop now. You know, and it's like, maybe blokes are more like that. But I think as a church, I want us to know that it's okay to say no. That sometimes people do take on too much. I'm not sure about you, but, you know, you hear the deathbed stories about what people say at the end of their life. And I haven't heard one person say yet, gee, I wish I spent more time at the office. I've never heard somebody on their deathbed say that. And in fact, it's completely the converse to that. It's like, I should have spent more time with my family. I should have invested more time into this or that. And so can I just empower you today that if life is busy for you, the word no is okay. And we want to encourage you in that. You know, some of us have worked really hard in terms of being a part of our journey, have worked really hard, and you don't want anything back from that. And I respect that. You've sown and you've worked hard and you don't want any recognition out of that. But can I just say, as your pastor, what I am giving back to you, if you are feeling tired and weary, what I'm giving back to you today is the permission to take a break. It's just to have some rest and actually look after you and look after your family. You know, some of us hold on to stuff a little bit much, and Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And I love this. I want to read a very popular passage. Isaiah 40 verse 27. I'm sure you've heard this before, but it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God. And this is what God responds. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So some beautiful words of encouragement and strength in this. So if you're feeling like you're doing too much, number one, we'll let you know as well. One of the things that we try to do is actually identify the people that are doing too much and say, you know what, you need to take some time out or you need to slow down. That's one of our responsibilities as a leadership group that we have in the life of our church, is to help people not get overworked. The last thing we would ever want is for anyone to be burnt out or to feel like they've just overextended themselves. But right here in this passage, we've got these great encouragements of what we can actually do when we start to feel like that, and that is spend time in the presence of the Lord. And we talk about prayer meetings, and you might go, well, hang on a sec, you're saying I'm too busy, why are you asking me to do something else? Well, if you're going to give anything out, don't give up the prayer meetings. Did you hear what I said? You can pull back from something, but don't pull back from the prayer meetings. I don't know if you're like me, but there are quite a few prayer meetings that I've gone to and I felt tired and I felt like I don't want to be there. And yes, I'm the pastor, but I go because, yeah, I should. And it's the right thing to do, all that kind of stuff. I get there and I got a bit of an attitude. But then we start to pray and something starts to happen. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So I go in there and kind of got this and that going on in my head, and I've got to get this, and this hour could be better used somewhere else. But what happens in that hour, suddenly I walk out of that place and I'm just ready to take on the world again. It's just like, bring it. You know, if I can be in the presence of God, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I come out of a prayer meeting, I feel refreshed. I mean, does anyone relate to what I'm saying? You're kind of like, so why don't we do it? Ouch. Okay, put your right hand up, please. All I want you to do is say, I love Pastor Phil. Good. So why don't we do it? So if you fit in this, don't forget there's three categories and I'm going to get through them. The first one is we're too busy. That doesn't relate to everyone in the room, mind you. You're about to hear, because I love Pastor Phil. You just said it, right? So, but for those of us in the room, if you need to make a choice about what you're going to pull back on, don't pull back on the prayer meetings. We have a Friday morning prayer meeting. We have a pre-service prayer meeting. We have the Tuesday night every second week when life groups are not on. So maybe you want to just think about coming to one of the weeks when life groups aren't on, so that you can actually be involved in prayer and experience what I'm talking about. And if you've never experienced, come and find out for yourself. And if it doesn't happen, take it up with God, not me. You know, Jesus said these words in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor, weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my burden is light, my yoke is easy, and I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the great news is that rest is available and it's found in Jesus. So rest is available for us when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and strength. Love and rest is there for us through Jesus. He wants to give us rest. If just going to finish off with this one by saying, if you're weary, it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It just means you've probably just worked really too hard and maybe too hard. Maybe you've worked flat out for a period of time and you just need to actually take some rest. So just because you're feeling weary doesn't mean that you're not in the right place with God, but maybe you actually just need to do some self-evaluation and actually go, hang on a sec, I need to evaluate, or I need to use some common sense. Maybe I need to do some things to create some space in my life so I'm actually operating out of a place of rest, not out of a place of weariness. Because how are we supposed to love others if we're weary? You see, a mercy gift, if it's not balanced with wisdom, will lead to burnout. So if we're trying to serve others and love others out of a weary place, we're only going to get more tired and drained and frustrated. When we get the priorities wrong, anything that we do, if we're trying to operate out of our own strength instead of God's strength, if we're trying to operate out of our own love instead of the love that God has got for us, which is an eternal supply, it becomes frustrating. It becomes exhausting. I know that when I'm ministering out of my own strength, I just get so tired. And Jesus goes, hey, knucklehead, what are you doing? Because believe it or not, it's actually possible to pastor. It's actually possible to do anything we do in life without God. And sometimes we just need to go, hang on a sec, am I operating out of my strength or am I operating out of God's love and strength? And so just because you're feeling weary doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. So the first category is there are those that are doing too much. Have a guess what the second category is, those that are doing enough. It sounds like a three bears or something like that, you know, just too hard, too soft, just right, whatever. But here we got those that are doing enough. And there are, we've got people in the life of our church that are, you're doing enough. And thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your faithful service. But can I just throw out there, make sure that, have this saying, prevention is better than cure. Just make sure you know what your markers are. Make sure you continue to have that area of balance in your life. If it seems to be working at the moment, then what is it that is actually working in your life? Sometimes it's not until we get into a difficult situation do we actually try to evaluate what the balance is. Maybe when we're in balance, we should actually go, okay, let's evaluate this and try to work out what are the rhythms that we're living that it's working right now. The reality is when you've got kids and life, you know, whatever balance is, it changes so often. But one of the things I'd also challenge you is that if you're doing enough, just to continue to be accountable. Continue to be accountable so you don't slip into doing too much. And make sure you're accountable to those that love you enough to tell you what you need to hear. Okay, let me ask you a question. Who have you got that's brave enough in your life right now that will tell you what you need to hear? And it can't be your husband, it can't be your wife. Because my wife's very good. It just keeping me grounded. But who have you got in your life? Who have you got that will actually kind of go, hey, you know, give you a kick up the butt when you need it, or maybe just go, hey, maybe you just need to pull back with something. So we've got those doing too much. We've got those that are doing enough. What about the third one? Not doing enough. Thank you, Holly. Not doing anything, not doing enough. This is where it's going to get really quiet. If I have heard crickets this morning, they're going to be screaming at me in a second. Just like, beautiful. Just like we have in any organization, any place, you've got the people that are always doing too much. There's always going to be people that don't do anything. Here's my disclaimer, especially for the new people in the life of our church. If you have only just started coming to our church, we want you just to sit and be. You know, we've had some incredibly talented people come and sit in the life of our church, and everything, for the love of God, everything in me just wants to get them involved in something. It's like, oh my gosh, that person could so fit and fill that gap that we've got right now. But it's not about that. And this is going to sound really cheesy and whatever, but we want you to know that we love you for who you are. Not for what you've got, not for what you can do. We just want you to know that you're loved for who you are, but also for you to actually suss it out and go, is this the place where I'm meant to be? Is, you know, with what we stand for, the culture, who we are, the direction in which we're heading, is that all resonate with you, not just in a materialistic, natural sense, but is there a spiritual heart connection with what's going on in this place and where you're at and where you want to go, where your family wants to go? And so I don't think you can make that decision in a week or two, and it's too an important decision to make quickly. So we want you actually to sit and to be. So that's my disclaimer. So if you're new to the life of our church, then maybe this doesn't relate to you, but in a few months it will. So just, I'll send you the podcast just to remind you. But, you know, I'd have to say that, you know, serving in the life of our church is the entry point of just being involved in some way. And I was in two minds whether I should share this, but I will anyway, because it just seems to be such a... It's all happening here this morning. We've only had two families or two individuals that have left our church on terms that weren't so fantastic. And I think that's pretty good for 10 and a half years. It's not a goal, and it's not, I don't have a target of how many people we can offend and get rid of, and we call them blessed subtractions and whatever. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that there's been two that pretty much I can confidently say everyone else that has kind of moved to either other countries or places or states or parts of Melbourne are comfortable to come back here and it's no drama. There's only two people that probably aren't super comfortable coming back in. And the reason for that is simply, let me explain, is that those people wanted to do particular roles and functions, but they weren't willing to serve. So when I sat down with them, I said, mate, listen, if you want to stand and you want to hold the microphone and you want to speak into people's lives about leadership and about principles of the Word of God, but you're not willing to set up the sound equipment, it ain't going to happen, Tiger. Like, how can we talk about servant leadership if your only definition of service is to hold the microphone and preach? It ain't going to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we hold strongly to this principle that serving is the entry point of connectedness in the life of the church, because we operate out of a heart of our leadership model, if you like, is one of servant leadership. And so there's nothing that Michael and I or Nat or Holly or any of our leaders or board, you know, what amazes me is the caliber of people we have in this church that we'd have no idea whether they're senior partners in this or whether they're owners of this business or whatever they do in life, or they're running their own this, or they're working flat out in a role over here, but they still happen to make time. I'm not saying this is the measure or the gauge of spirituality. Hear me clearly on that. I'm not saying that. But we've got some incredibly busy people in the life of our church that you would have no idea at the role or the level in which they operate in their workplace, but they are just serving faithfully in this church. And so we make time for what's important. And so this morning, if I can ask, seeing as I'm on a roll of offending people this morning, can I just ask? So if you're new to the life of this church, if you've been here for more than, let's say, 10 months, add a bit of grace in this. If you've been here for more than 10 months and you're not actively serving in a way, shape or form, why not? You do. I think, you know, for us to pursue what God is calling us to do, you know, we appreciate the hard work that people... Wow, this has gone really quiet. Do you know sometimes you have in your mind how something's going to go? Yeah, it's not like this. That's kind of funny. It's just like, remember you said you love Pastor Phil? I think for me, one of my passions and desires is to see people discover, develop, and succeed in their God-given talents and abilities. And if we can be faithful with the little, then God will give us much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.